So, I'm not sure who wants to start. I suppose the natural starting place is to go to Colin as chair of the group. Just to say hello, first of all, Colin, and if you'd like to tell us a little bit about the group.
Yes, can do. The group was set up just over 10 years ago now. And it was helped by, it was facilitated and sponsored, I suppose, really by the NHS to start with, and with the oncologist and the specialist nurse from Preston Royal. And the objective is to share our experiences with the patients that come in. And there's no holds barred by in some of the meetings, if you like, for what some of the things are to discuss. But bearing in mind all the time, it is for the families as well. And that obviously includes the carers. And we try to create a help and a multiplicity of viewpoints of experiences and help them to go along their journey with a little bit more experience-led information than that provided by the professionals. So basically, it's a common group there to help all newly diagnosed people and their families along the journey.
And I think that's quite important, isn't it, Colin? That it's the medics kind of understands the clinical side of things, but more often than not, they've not actually had a prostate cancer diagnosis. So the actual how does it feel having had a diagnosis and what the treatment effects. It's really helpful, isn't it, talking to other patients that have been through that experience. And as you said before, for the carers to have someone to talk to that's been there as well before them.
Well, that's right. I mean, the difficulty that you get when you're being told that you have cancer, your mind shuts down. So whatever else they tell you at the time of that confirmation of the diagnosis, you don't tend to listen to. So they give you a lot of books. And to be honest, the books are not particular to your particular problem. They're not focused enough. They try to do a one-size-fits-all, and it doesn't really work. So our role is really to help them get through that and put themselves in the right situation where they're looking at the right factors to make the next decision that they've been asked to make along that journey. And obviously, with the carer being involved as well, that makes it more of a joint thing to do, and they're going with the same information.
Godfrey, George, can I ask you to kind of talk about anything that you'd like to add from what Colin said?
Yes, well, those people that come into the group are of course men who attend for the first time, and they can be very downhearted and don't know what to expect. And they see men with partners, with wives, talking quite openly about very personal issues, the sort of issues that they are concerned about. They see other men who have experienced the same problems that they're going through, and they also see how well we all look.
Yeah.
They, you know, after their first meeting, they often leave on sort of a high and in a much more positive frame of mind from when they walked in the door. And that's very important, because there's nothing worse when you think the end of the world is near and you've perhaps got nobody to talk to about it. And suddenly you see this group who are talking about all the concerns that you have, and it does lift them, most certainly. I mean, we are a support group, and you know, we endeavour to support men in any way that we can. I mean, most of us have been through what they are going through, and it is good to talk about the issues, problems that affect you. Talking about these sort of matters is a very positive way forward, and so we would say, don't hesitate, come and see us.
How long is it since you were diagnosed, Godfrey? Because I think that's the other important thing, because I think there's still a thing around cancer patients. Once they've had a diagnosis, lots of people can be quite fatalistic about that, can't they? They can think that, well, that's it now. How long is it since you were diagnosed?
Well, I had my prostate removed by open surgery in 2011, the year that the group started. In fact, Colin and I attended the initial meeting, didn't we, Colin?
We did. And I was diagnosed in 2009.
Well, when I was diagnosed, I was actually told by the oncologist that I had PC. It was the first time my wife had come to a consultation. And I didn't sort of feel there and then, oh, that's it. I was delighted that I eventually found out, well, not delighted, but I was pleased that I found out exactly what the problem was. And I was looking for remedies. And that's where the problem came. I didn't know what way to go for. I didn't know whether to have it out, whether to have radiation, to wait and see. That is the difficult thing for every man, deciding what's the way forward after that. Mm-hmm. My younger brother has just been diagnosed in America. He lives in Florida. He's been a fit man all his life, and the medical system he has is very good there. He can sort of be treated almost immediately, and he's opting for radiation treatment. But he, again, hasn't had anybody really to talk to seek proper advice, just the same that I had. And I think Colin and George perhaps may feel the same.
Well, I certainly think, picking up from something that you said, Godfrey, that we're not a uniform church almost, if you put it that way, but every one of us has opted for a different form of treatment, and that gives us an opportunity to speak with newcomers and explain our own experiences and perhaps give them the opportunity to make an informed decision as to what is best for them.
I think that's really important as well, that actually it's not a medic saying, well, these are the options, and kind of not really necessarily being that helpful to help you make your mind up, but to actually understand what the consequences of doing the different things are is quite important. So being able to talk to other patients is helpful. And I know, George, we've talked about it for a long time, because I know you were on Watch and Wait for a long time.
Yes.
And it's that anxiety that's around that every time you were getting ready for follow-up appointments and have things changed. It's a challenging decision to make to opt for Watch and Wait, isn't it, as well?
Yes, it is. And I think you've got to be strong mentally, and you've got to be able to cope with the fact that every 3 months you're going to have a blood test, and you're going to see the oncologist, and you're going to be told what your PSA levels are, and that the time has come eventually that you've got to make a decision. But from my point of view, being on Watch and Wait meant that it gave me a chance to make an informed decision, and so that when I did have to have surgical intervention, I'd made the decision, I was comfortable with the decision, and I was happy to go ahead. I was confident that I'd made the right decision, and I've never had any regrets, and I'd hate to think that there are people out there who've rushed into making a decision and now regret what decision they made.
Yeah. Barbara, can I ask you to say a few words as well? Because obviously, what I think is a really good thing about the Walnut Group is that the partners attend the meetings. It feels like the chaps aren't in there on their own, and also the women have got a chance to kind of talk to other women that are partners of men that have got a prostate cancer diagnosis.
Yes, that was very, very important when we started. The first meeting that we attended, which was just after Alan had been diagnosed in, what would it be, June 2016, I actually said, I will come into the meeting, and if there are no other ladies, I will make a swift departure and wait in the car. So I was actually amazed that there were so many ladies in the meeting and that they were all so welcoming. And we just found the Walnut Group meetings to be a great help when he was diagnosed, because he was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer, which means that you don't have the option of surgical intervention. So the future did seem very, very bleak. But after we'd spoken to some of the Walnut Group members that night, then there seemed to be a future.
Yeah.
There were members there who'd had advanced prostate cancer for many years, which made us optimistic. Suddenly we could see a future where before we'd gone to the meeting, it just looked so bleak and it just looked like everything had come to a standstill. And I mean, that's sort of almost 5 years ago. And although Alan isn't well at the moment, he has been very well over the last 4 years. You know, it's only this last 10 or 11 months that his health has deteriorated.
Yeah.
So it's been a great help.
Yeah.
And also being involved with the public testings, that has helped such a lot because it's given us some sort of goal to encourage other men to be tested. So the whole thing has been extremely helpful for us, without a doubt, yeah.
And
mentally speaking, definitely, as well as a day-to-day basis.
And that was beautifully segued into talking about the PSA testing events that you've organised. So again, Colin, I don't know if you want to say a few words about that, because obviously they've been really successful days, haven't you, that you've organised over the last few years?
Yeah, we've had probably, I think, 4 or 5 testing sessions now. We've been fortunate enough to get local sponsors. And in fact, Barbara and Alan were very active in securing our last funding support for it, as it isn't cheap, PSA testing. But as there is 1 in 8 men in the UK can expect to be diagnosed at some time with prostate cancer, that doesn't mean to say it's a death knell, by the way. Most people die with it, not from it. But we've also got 1 in 4 if you've got a background of Afro-Caribbean. Why the difference, we don't know. What I do know, though, we do have one member who is Afro-Caribbean and he's been on hormone treatment because they can't do surgery or other things, but he's been on it for in excess of 20 years. So that tells you that while we're, as a group, we're very forward-looking. But the PSA testing in general now, we've done about 1,200 people. And of those 1,200 people, you can say that around about 10% would have been had some sort of questions to ask. And of those, there's about another 10% of that. So you're down to about 2% have been referred seriously to their doctors.
Mm.
So this is the sort of thing we ought to do. And this A, because it gets publicity out there, it makes people aware of it and they can come anonymously. They just we give them the blood test and they go away. And then they're diagnosed remotely by professionals and the answer comes back. And the sponsors that we've managed to achieve has allowed us to do this at zero cost.
Which is amazing. Yeah. How many members do you have, do you think?
But we're generally getting now, with their carers, around about 35 people.
I think there's a misconception, isn't there, about what a support group is for lots of people. I think they have the view that they see on film, which is everybody sitting in a big circle and talking about the deepest, darkest fears and things. But your meetings aren't like that, are they? You're quite active in terms of having a social calendar in normal circumstances.
Yeah, the main thing that bonds us effectively is that we create a new social environment. So there's got different boundaries of which we can talk about. But also we try to produce a social side to it together. So obviously we have Christmas dinner and we've had it at a local restaurant in the past. And we usually go out at least three times a year for a lunch. We try to organise trips out where people want to go. We've been to the Arboretum, for instance. And we've done other sorts of things where people feel they want to do to increase this sort of thing. We sponsored a lunch with the help of one of the charities. A dinner, well, it's dinner dance sort of thing that we had in a Caribbean evening in the middle of Preston. Which was obviously trying to form bridges with the Afro-Caribbean community that's there.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've got quite a big social bond and people talk to each other. They ring each other up as well. So it's not as if it's isolated to every Wednesday, in the first Wednesday in the month. Mm. These contacts go on through all the year.
Yeah. And also you quite often have medics in, don't you, talking about research projects and... I know that obviously having the robotic option of surgery now in this area is amazing, really. Some of the technology that's going on, some of the developments in treatment options as well.
The advances that have been made since Godfrey and myself were first, when we first formed the Walnut Group, the changes in the technology, the diagnosis processes, everything has changed completely. So it's necessary that we keep up to date with exactly what's happening out there. So we've had all sorts of things. We've even had psychiatrists there as well as the medical people and people talking about the advances in surgery or robotics. But there's a tremendous change has been made in radiotherapy. The accuracy at which they can use the radio beams today is far better. They can actually draw patterns on you now rather than just sort of bombard an area randomly as they used to do. So now they can target things very, very precisely as to what they're doing with both the radio beams and with the diagnostic equipment that they have today. So they can minimise the amount of invasive diagnostics they have to sometimes do or clinical investigations they have to do. Hmm. And funnily enough, we also try to support research work at Preston Lancashire Hospitals, and that involves UCLan and Lancaster University. And you're not talking weeks, you're talking years to do this. Hmm. So we keep our minds there on the future as to what's happening, keeps us up to date, and therefore the quality and depth of our advice that we can give or help that we can give people is increased in support service.
This is a question to all of you now. Thinking about how the group benefits individuals that come along to the group or make contact with you, for some telephone support or just to ask some questions and speak to another patient that's been in a similar position. Are there any messages that you'd like to give to people that might be listening to this podcast, be that as a supporter for somebody that has cancer or for a patient that's just recently been diagnosed?
They can be relieved to talk to somebody. Talking is the main thing. It helps, as somebody's already said. But what we can do with that then, though, is we can understand what they're saying and what their problems are, and then we can engage with other members to ring directly to them to tell them of their experiences, which tries to supplement what we do in the group. But in actual fact, it hasn't got the depth and the richness of the group. But that's the best that we can do today, and a lot of people seem to be satisfied. I spoke to a gentleman the other week, and he's absolutely adamant he's coming to the group when he can.
We haven't met now. When was the last meeting we had, Colin?
A year ago.
3rd of March, I think it was. It was beginning of March.
I mean, there must be a lot of people now would dearly love to come to a meeting.
Indeed.
As you just said, the greatest thing about it is talking about the issues that one has is a really positive way forward. They listen to what other people have had, and there's no doubt about it. Talking about these personal matters is a big thing. And when they see partners' wives, as Barbara mentioned earlier on, wives and partners attending the meeting and talking about these issues themselves, I mean, it is a real boost. We have social events. We have a lot of social events in the group. We've been to York, we've been to bowling clubs. I was booking a theatre in Blackburn just as the pandemic was about to start for us all to attend. We finance ourselves now, and we stand on our own 2 feet, and it's a very successful and well-known local support group, and we would, of course, love to be up and running again, but it's going to be some months yet, I think, before we can get back together properly.
Well, what I can say is that the Rosemere nurse, when Alan was diagnosed, gave us a Walnut Group card at the time of his diagnosis, and quite honestly, that was the best thing that we received. We wouldn't have known about the support group if we hadn't had that card, and that was absolute gold to us.
And you don't get any better feedback than that, Barbara. So that's fabulous, isn't it? You know, and it is about remembering how important it is to talk to other patients that are in the same boat.
Indeed, yeah.
Okay.
It really is. It's invaluable. It just keeps you going. Yeah.
George?
I think one of the things that we are able to do is to encourage men to get themselves tested, whether it's through our public sessions or by going to their own doctors. It doesn't really matter. The importance is that men should get tested. And even though we've not been able to meet for 12 months, unfortunately, people are still being diagnosed with prostate cancer. And sadly, people are going undiagnosed with prostate cancer. And that concerns us a great deal. So we still want to get the message out there to men to go and get themselves tested. I think that's tremendously important. And if we can help in any way, we always will do.
Colin, if somebody wants to make contact with the group at the moment, obviously they can't just come into the building here at Vine House where you normally meet. What's the best way of somebody making contact with the group and actually having a chance to speak to someone?
I think the best way really for people to get in touch with us is to ring Vine House. And if you would be good enough to pass the word on or whatever, then we can get contact to them through their telephone and talk to them directly that way. This ensures that they've always got an answer, whereas, of course, we're just normal people going about a normal life.
And also, from my point of view, it's great because it ties us in so that people that are actually wanting some support from yourselves might actually want to come and access some support from us at the centre as well. So our contact details at Vine House in Preston is 01772 793 344. We do have a voicemail machine, so if you're picking this message up, if you're listening to the podcast and it's out of hours, you can leave a message with us and somebody will be back to you, usually the following day if it's later on in the evening, but we only work Monday to Friday, so if it's a weekend call, it will only get picked up on a Monday. I think that's about it. Just want to say thank you so much to Colin, Godfrey, George and Barbara. Thanks for joining us today. You know, hopefully there are other bits. It may be that we want to do another recording at some point to talk about things that may be a little bit more personal. This is kind of our second podcast, so we're still trying to find our feet on this one. But again, that will be guided by the Walnut Group. In terms of whether there's extra things that they want to talk about. And equally, if we get any feedback from any patients or carers or spouses listening to this that they want some specific content, our intention now is to start making our website a bit more interactive, so it's not just somewhere where information gets dropped and left. We will be quite responsive in terms of what people are looking for. So I just want to wish you, we're recording this on a Friday. The sun is shining. It's beautiful out there at the moment. So I just want to wish you all the best for the weekend. Make the most of the weather. And all being well, I will catch up with you soon.